Well, greetings again this morning too, each one of you that are here. It's good to give the ministers a break as they're doing their traveling and things. They all preached last Sunday, and they got a tough schedule to keep their week-to-week schedule going preaching, because they got to figure out who's going to take off when and flip-flop around. And so I think it's good for us to step in and help them out, share it when we can, in order to give them a little time in this year. All right, as you can see, title is Living in Forgiveness. You know, something I've been doing a lot of thinking of lately is how forgiveness affects us in so many ways. All you have to do is struggle with that problem for a while, and then and you can see the beauty of living struggle in the area of unforgiveness, and then you can see the beauty of living in forgiveness, how freeing it is. And we're just going to look at a little bit of some scriptures and illustrations this morning of forgiveness, how that what a beautiful gift God has given to us, how it's something that I think in Jesus here, it was his footprint. That's what his whole life was centered around, this here area of forgiveness, and how he wants us to have it. First of all, as a visitor from across the mountain lived on this mountain, he leaned across the old fence there, watching his old friend plow. "I don't like to butt in," he finally said, "but you could save yourself a lot of work by talking to your mule, by saying, you know, gee and haw, instead of tugging on those reins and pulling on him and, you know, with the reins and stuff. Why don't you just learn to talk to him? And you don't have to go through all that motions." The old timer pulled a big handkerchief from his pocket, mopped his brow. "Yep, I know that," he agreed, "but this mule kicked me 6 years ago, and I haven't spoke to him since." How many of us kind of see that in our lives sometimes, when we avoid people, when we our life becomes trapped by a situation where someone has done something to us? And, you know, that's a very kind of a ignorant thing for him to do that. But that shares the life of so many people that that do the same thing with that. Forgiveness, what is it? It's a practice that must be repeated. We can't just say, okay, this is, you know, 2013. Now this year I'm going to be a forgiving person this year. It probably won't happen. You know, we have to repeat it over and over in our life to be able to conquer this here. And in Matthew 18, 21 to 22, it talks about that, about forgiving our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, forgiveness is an essential thing for each and every Christian. Something that if we're going to call ourselves on the name of Christ, we need to have this forgiveness as a part of our life. Because why? Because first of all, who gave the most forgiveness in this life? It was Christ, who gave us example to follow him, that we know that he forgave us. And we're to be followers of him. Some of the apostles of our Lord that were walking with him gave a perfect example of that. As they talked to him about that, I think it was it Peter that said on the area of forgiveness here. It's Matthew 21:22. "Then Peter said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?'" You know, very prideful, you know. And what did our Lord say? Jesus said to him, "I say not to thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." So Jesus comes back to him and says, no, it's just not seven times. 490 times every day. This is what you need to do. And that kind of takes us back. So there in that equation there with that, there's no room for unforgiveness in our life. If we're to practice that, you know, about 500 times a day, we should be just immense with trying to be, learn forgiveness, to live in forgiveness. And that's what I want to dwell in thoughts this morning, is to have this to be a part of our life, not just something that we decide on doing for a portion of it. That's where it becomes a real pattern for us that we can grow into it. There's many times that, you know, we can look at forgiveness. We look back something recent history in Pennsylvania there with the nickel mines. We've heard that their story over and over again, how the whole world was watching this story of the Amish school children that had their life taken out, and their parents and the community chose to forgive this murderer. And the world looked on this, and it set a real example for that there. And how that we're able to do this. It can be done through forgiveness there. How are some ways, one thing that we have to look at, Jesus trying to set, when it talks about the 490 times a day, Jesus is not trying to set a number on our forgiveness. What our Lord is really trying to say is that we need to have a character of forgiveness within us. And that's the word that I would like to have with this living in. We need to have this character. And how do you embed character traits in our life? You know, we know some of them is honesty. You know, you start naming them off, the character traits. I didn't write them down. I think a lot of the Bill Gothard seminars has a lot of these character traits here, and to have these embedded in our life and have this character of forgiveness in us. We need to be ready and willing to forgive and forgive again. Why? Because that's who God is. God is a God of forgiveness. He is able to do that. And we are His children. And we should develop that character in order to do that. How are some ways to do this here? That's recognizing the offense. That's the first thing we need to do when we're seeking to go through this path of forgiveness. You know, I know in studying this here in the last couple of weeks here, I've been looking at this here, and I had to recognize areas that I was not totally free from this area of unforgiveness in there. And I had to look at that and to recognize, yeah, I had a little bit of harboring there. It's easy for us to, different areas, I think men and women probably a little different in that area. A lot of times women will, you can, they're more emotionally tied to things. Words can just hurt you deeply. And men is probably more in the areas of, you know, respect and maybe someone treated you bad financially. And we grab a hold of this here, and it's hard to let it go. But living in forgiveness, it's open for everybody in this here. And recognize the offense. What is sin? We all know that one of the illustration of sin is to miss the mark or falling short. Sinning is anything we do that offends God. Offending God is sin, and that's why we need to recognize that. And same thing when we offend other people, or someone else offends us. That's where forgiveness needs to come in and to cover that there. And it's because of our sins that we need God's forgiveness. And it talks about there in offenses, recognize the offense. An offense is something someone has done that offends us or offends another person. When there is an offense, then forgiveness is required. Jesus said this. In that verse there, And that verse they have up there, it talks about that. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has an ought against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And that that verse kind of really struck me, that there's no room for us to come to church, us to come to a praise time, and when we have sin in our life, first thing you do, stop before you get to the, this is Jesus was telling them there, like when they were bringing their gifts into the temple there, put your gift down at the door, go back out, get in your car, go back and talk to this person, clear it up before you come in, and then you will have freedom. And so often we fail to do that. We go on in life with having this weight on us and this burden of unforgiveness in that. And that's why we need to work on that daily, that we do not carry this with us. Have you ever noticed that when you're in conflict with another person, that your attitude will rob you of your peace of mind and your peace with God? You know, all of us, people, we're all people, and people matter to God. And then when we struggle with each other, have our attitudes not right, we reflect God in that there, in our life like that. Every person is extremely valuable to God. And if they are, if God looks at people like that, then why shouldn't we look at people like that? Why do we put people in classes? You know, why do we say he's not worthy of my, you know, even acknowledging him, you know, because of what he did to me? That's where we have to break down that barrier and to be able to bring that person up in order to recognize him. And that's another area, is to elevate, that we need to do that. First of all, we need to look at that person. What I, you know, said before is to acknowledge or recognize the offense. Then we need to elevate that person. How do we elevate that person that we do not feel good towards? Some ways of doing that would be to give honor to them. To you know, don't turn your back on them. Don't ignore them. You know, give honor to them. It this deals with placing the right value on people that we've had come into our life like that. Having the right value is so very important of that there. Matthew 5:44. Jesus says here, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I think it covers about everything in here. All those that curse you, despitefully use you, and saying all these things that have been harmful to them, you know, which turn around and love them. How is it, how can we do that when someone has been very horrible against us? It's not easy, but it can be done. It's the illustration in about 1960. Adolf Coors III of the Coors Brewery out in Colorado. He was kidnapped and held for ransom, and later killed. His son Adolf Coors IV, then 15 years old, developed this hatred for this killer, Joseph Corbett. In 1975, the young Coors became a Christian, and he divested himself of his interest in the family brewery business. One day he visited Corbett at the maximum security unit in Colorado's Canyon City prison there. Corbett was the fellow that that killed his this Coors' father. He refused to see him. Undetermined, Coors the fourth here left him a Bible, and he determined that he wanted to leave an impression on him. So he wrote a little letter in here and described in this in the Bible here. I'm so sorry we could not meet. As a Christian, I am summoned by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to forgive you. I do forgive you. But now he's turning around. One other thing, listen closely to this. I ask you to forgive me for the hatred I've held in my heart towards you. So who was the strongest one in the offense category? One who killed his father, or was it the son that killed the murderer? That hated the murderer. Hatred in God's eyes is just as strong as murder. And sometimes it can do more damage that way, because murder can be a momentary thing and affects people, yes, but hatred can go through a lifetime. And it teaches our children. Our children grow up with our attitude. If we're going to have an attitude of hatred, bitterness is a complete different. It goes together with unforgiveness, but it leads into this here. Bitterness can grow into this hatred and unforgiveness in there. If that develops into our life, it affects so many things. Our children, those around us, and that's why it's important to do what the Coors fella did here in forgiving this here, and to asking forgiveness for the hatred he held in his heart. Later, Mr. Coors confessed that, I have a love for that man that only Jesus Christ could have placed in my heart. And that's true. On his own, he could not face it to go and ask someone who killed his father for forgiveness. But it was only through Jesus that he put that love in his heart. Another thing we need to look at here is perceive our offenses, or to look at our offenses, how we can deal with those there. If someone has done something to us, look at this here. First of all, what have I done? What, maybe it's because of some of my attitude, because he did this to me. And we all know that verse that goes with that there, Matthew 7:1-6. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. So, most of the time, if we look at someone with the wrong way, we think, it's all his fault, it's all her fault. But look at ourselves, perceive how things are looked at as a whole. Most times they can kind of even themselves out a little bit. I'm not perfect myself. and that things can be brought into light. Other areas of forgiveness in there. There's another illustration of in 1982, Stephen Wyatt was a sheriff's officer with the misfortune of pulling Mark Furnham over in a routine traffic stop. And he was driving along and seeing he did something wrong, pulled him over. But only one thing was different here. He did not realize that Mark Furman, he was running from robbing a bank. He had just robbed a bank, was taking off and on high speed. Furnham shot Wyatt 5 times and left him for dead. So the bank robber shot the policeman and left him for dead beside the road. Wyatt recovered, but lost his sight of one eye. He still carries a bullet near his spine. As you might expect, Wyatt became very bitter towards Furnham. His anger grew until his wife intervened and says, how can you say you're a Christian and you walk around with this hatred in your heart? And she encouraged him to forgive. And that's something he chose to do. In 1986, which is like 4 years after his accident, he attended a revival service at the prison and spotted Furnham across the room. He walked over to Furnham and hugged him. And Wyatt said, "I had basically been dead from the time I got shot until now in 1986. And when he forgave Furman here, Wyatt said, "He was just like, it was just like God had picked up a semi-truck right off of me and I actually started living again." Forgiveness does that. He takes a load off of us and we become free and not under the bondage of the pressure of having this burden on us. From all appearances, forgiveness was complete. Today, the two men are best friends. In 2002, they had a governor's election in Wyoming, and Stephen Wyatt was running for this, and he had promised that if he's elected, one of the first things he will do was be pardoned and release Farnham from jail, from prison there, his friend. And after he did all this to him, lost his eye and partially crippled. Another thing we can do is to relieve the to get rid of unforgiveness in our life is abandon the hurt. Abandon the hurt. How can we do that? You know, by turning it over to God, having God be in charge of our life again. Having God, you know, take over these thoughts and these actions that we're taking in our heart. Because there again, you know, who's calling the shots when we have unforgiveness in our life? Satan. Satan's in control of us. And it's taking the authority away from Satan and putting it back, letting God take over. That's goes with the next one. Then it talks about transferring the offense. Send it away. Command Satan to leave us. That he has no authority to be a part of our life, to control us like this here. He has no business being there into a child of God. Hebrews talks about that. 10:16. "This is a covenant that I make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember them no more." And that's what Christ did with all of ours. He transferred all the garbage in our life, and he forgave them, put them out. And, you know, why can't we do that? Transfer the evilness, the unkind things that people done to us or say to us, transfer them, get rid of them out of our life. Grow up into maturity is so important to them. You know, how we handle a lot of these here, it takes maturity with that. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. It's so important in as we go along with that. So what does the Lord of all forgiveness, what does he teach us about forgiving? Jesus is a comfort to every person. Those who are in the depths of sin and despair are asked to come. Jesus sees them in the midst of the life of storms. Another one, Matthew 11, "Come into me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." Jesus is there for us when we have these burdens on us. Let us learn to be like our Lord. Let us learn to be the lighthouse of hope and harbors in the refuge with this persuasion of forgiveness. And also Jesus' blood cleanses from every sin. It doesn't matter what it is, hatred, bitterness, and all these murders. He can cleanse these here. Our Lord also offers the incredible gift of total cleansing from one's sins. And it's not just a little wash over, it's a total cleansing of that there. A performance or a lifestyle that is rewarded. Once we walk through this area of forgiveness, choose to go in that, what is some of the things that we have to look forward to? A lifestyle is different. We will be rewarded for our behavior in that there when we do that. Where's a verse that reflects that? Matthew 18 talks about that. For if we forgive men their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Conditional. If we want to have total forgiveness, if we want God to forgive us for what we've done, we must forgive our brother. We must forgive those that has harmed us, mistreated us. All these areas here, we must do that if we expect God to forgive us. And I think so many times we walk around in that expecting God to come through when we're not lifting up our end of the burden there too, our end of the bargain, of expecting God to bless us without forgiving others. So many other areas. Forgiveness prevents alienation. Forgiveness prevents alienation. What does that mean? To be an alien in a country is not a good feeling. If you're, especially a time when we had 9/11 times, a lot of aliens were really scared. Am I going to get kicked out? I didn't feel knowing what was here. You know, forgiveness, to be a part of something, that's what forgiveness does to there. Once we have forgiveness in our life, we become inclusive with those around about us. We don't have to, making sure we don't show up when that person comes in the church door. We don't have to do that. We can be free of that. Or other illustrations as well. God does not like to see division within his body, within his church or his family. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have become part of the family of God, and God wants his children to be right with each other. And that's true. You know, that's what he wants this to be, unity here. Forgiveness promotes reconciliation. Another thing in 1 Peter 4:8 talks about there. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sin. Charity or love. Love one in the body of Christ. When we have that here, it covers up so much when things are in line that way. We're talking about confessing our sins. It helps us to walk in this forgiveness. You know, when these things have become evident to us, talk to God about them. Ask him forgiveness. You know, consent to talk to someone else, confessing to each other. Another talks here about when God forgives our sin, what does he do? One verse it talks about here, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us. There's to infinity, there is nothing there that withholds God's. He's not having the sins boxed up in a little closet somewhere. He has forgiven us forever and ever. Look out into space. It's nothing there that they're gone. How he does it, I don't know. But and that's why, you know, we have to be kind of like that as well. I don't know how we can be totally like that. We remember things. Yeah, it's, things happen. We remember that. I remember that barber that got a hold of my head this week. And I told him to give me a light trim, and he just did it the way he wanted to do. And I was a little bit upset at him. And clipping me up pretty good. And so do I, what's my attitude toward a situation like that? I ain't gonna never go walk in that place again. I was asking him a little bit, you know, how's it going with him? You know, he moved from another place. I said, you get your former customers coming back? And he said, it's pretty, the economy really hit hard. People aren't getting a haircut as much. And, you know, it might hurt him a little bit more, but I don't know. Where does forgiveness come in places like that? You know, I don't have any forgiveness in my heart, but I mean, there's not go back. But there's ways that, you know, I don't have a problem seeing him like this. But, you know, we have to deal with things constantly like that. How do we handle that? Not to have, you know, hair grows back, but, you know, some things in life that does not replace itself so freely like that. So we have to learn to work through every area of that. There's a couple of illustrations. Dwayne had wrote an article, compiled it, or wrote. I don't know what he did, and I asked him for it. And it kind of wrapped this up a little bit here. I got my Sunday school class going to help me out on this here, the different sections here about unforgiveness and bitterness. Like I said, we didn't talk a lot about bitterness in there. I think it's a vital part of unforgiveness. Bitterness is right there in with it. So let's look here about what is compiled here to kind of wrap this up in what I was talking about here. Okay, I gave someone about 10 of these here, and we're going to say them at now. The first one there, who wants to read that for us? Who did I give it to? Okay, I'll repeat this after that because some of you may not can hear all over there. Saying the words, I forgive you, and yet not mean it in our hearts is like Jesus saying, I forgive you, child, but I don't want to spend eternity with you. Yeah, you can be part of my kingdom here on this earth, but I've got some other people I'm going to spend heaven with. That's kind of what, when we choose unforgiveness, that's kind of what we're doing that way. That we're not willing to spend time with there. Number two, who has that one? Okay. And also I gave some of the men, I told them to get their wives to talk too, so that's, Mary's not in our Sunday school class, so. All of us have offended God's righteousness by things we have done, said, or thought. God stands ready to forgive us, to erase it all and wash it away, but only if we forgive others for offending us. It's a clause there. You know, God stands ready to do that. But if we cannot have that in our heart, we will not have the freedom, releasement from God. Three, who has that one? All right, let's think that through a little bit. To forgive is to release from judgment and give up the right to get even. It takes the pleasure out of it, doesn't it? Getting even, isn't that? I think sometimes we think it is that way. To release the person and choose not to get even. That's where it takes the grace of God from, is releasement and having a clear communication with God takes care of that problem of trying to get even. Four.
Forgiveness is cleaning the record of those who have wronged me and allowing God to love them
through me. Okay. Forgiveness is the cleaning the record of those who have wronged us and allowing God to love them through me. To have God flowing through us into society is so vitally important for the Christian church. And I think sometimes we lose track of that in going our merry way and not being able to let people see that Christ is flowing through us. And it's hard for Christ to flow through us if we're living a false life. And basically, if we're living in unforgiveness, that is a false life. It's not filled with Christ, the way all the scriptures point to that. Five, who has that one? Forgiveness is allowing God to be responsible for any vengeance or repayment. So, you know, all we can do is sit back and wait on God. What about if God doesn't cause harm or getting even into that person's life? Do we get mad at God? Hey, you need to take care of him. No, God will take care of him. He has ways of doing that. He's able to... He built the whole earth, the whole solar system. He's able to take care of a few delinquent children on this earth. He can handle that. Six.
Forgiveness is facing the pain directly and choosing to release the offender.
Mm-hmm. So we have a choice. We have an obligation to release that. It will not happen on its own. That burden will always be there if we do not choose to release the offender. Seven.
My responsibility is to submit my will to God's and to acknowledge that He is right, that His ways work. When I turn from my ways to God's ways, this is known as repentance.
Very good. To acknowledge that He is right. His way is, it's like in concrete, it's there. It has been proven to work. And when we walk in it, it will work. Eight.
Willingness to forgive against outer darkness. God's ways are light. We must begin by agreeing with God, making a 180-degree turn, and choosing to be good because
of His love. This is so right. Unwillingness to forgive means I love darkness. It means I want to walk in this mess. I want this to be part of my life when we choose unforgiveness. God's ways are light. We must begin by agreeing with God, making a 180-degree turn, choosing to forgive because it is right, regardless of the feelings involved. I don't feel like forgiving him. It doesn't matter. Nine. Who had nine?
Lord, I don't feel like forgiving that person. My feelings are wrong. I choose to submit my will and feelings to you, whatever law. I am willing to forgive.
Mm-hmm. Have we heard that story? That, Lord, I don't feel like forgiving that person. I think that happens in a lot of our lives. You know, it's something we does it come naturally. It comes with it takes a surgery in our life in order to submit to that. Number 10. True. That's the way he finishes up with that. It's a prison. We don't want to be involved with a prison. It's we want freedom. That's what most of the prisoners in there, they don't want to be in there. And then why would we want to be into a prison when we don't have to be? And I have one other little illustration here. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school class about water and fire. And it talks about the kitchen test of life. The test kitchen of life. A young woman was complaining to her father about how difficult her life had become. He said nothing. He took her to the kitchen, set three pans of water on the stove, and started to boiling. To the first pan, he added carrots. To the second, he added eggs. To the third, he added ground coffee. After three had cooked, He put their contents into separate bowls and asked his daughter, "Cut the eggs into the carrots and the carrots and smell the coffee." "What does this mean?" she asked impatiently. He told her, "Each food teaches us something about facing adversary in life. And it's represented by the boiling water. Boiling water is life. The carrot went in hard, but came out soft and weak. The egg went in fragile, but came out hardened. Coffee, however, changed the water into something better." You know, what will we be like, and what will you be like in life? We're all going to get in hot water sometime. Are we going to become like a carrot, just kind of lay around and not just kind of, yeah, what does a carrot do? It becomes very weak and soft. Eggs, it hardened, got them bitter. I ain't changing from one bit. Makes it, you know, the more you boil it, you know, the harder it gets. I don't know if it get, but it's not pretty. It's good though, but coffee, however, changed the water into something better. And that's amazing how it's, both of them had the same ingredients, how it changed things, but the coffee in there made it to a pleasant tasting beverage and able to consume it. And that's how we're to be. If we want to have total forgiveness in our life, we need to be able to change the environment around us, change our lives, make us a happier person, choose forgiveness. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we have areas like this we can look at. We know that we are confronted with this so much, the area of people doing things that are not pleasant to us. Help us to choose the path of forgiveness so that we can better our lives, better the community around us, better the church here at Shiloh, and most of all, better your kingdom for your glory, for your soon return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.